Take a good look at the airplane parked at your gate the next time you fly, a tube with wings bolted on the side. Now picture the airliner your grandfather flew on, a tube with wings bolted on the side. Now picture the one your grandkids will fly on. If a company out of Long Beach, California is right, it won't be a tube at all. I'm Vector, and this is Clear Direct on Radio Hangar. Today we're going to talk about the blended wing body, and specifically a startup called Jet Zero that has somehow convinced the United States Air Force to write them a $600 million check to find out whether the shape of the airliner is about to change for the first time in 70 years. Let's break this down. Before we get into the airframe, a quick word from the people who help keep this show in the air. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI, the whole journey beautifully made, built to last, and a lot more meaningful than another logbook sticker. If you've got a milestone coming up or somebody in your life who just earned one, go take a look. AviationSoul.com, all right? Let's start with the thing nobody questions, which is exactly why it's worth questioning. Every airliner you have ever boarded is built on the same fundamental architecture. We call it tube and wing. A cylindrical fuselage holds the people and the cargo. The wings stick out to make lift. The tail keeps it pointed the right direction. The Boeing 707 did it in 1958. The Airbus A320 does it today. The shape has been refined 1,000 times, but the bones haven't changed. And there's a good engineering reason for that. A cylinder is fantastic at holding pressure. When you climb to 35,000 feet and the cabin is pumped up to feel like you're at 6 or 7,000, that pressure wants to burst the airplane like a balloon. A round tube handles that load beautifully and evenly. It's cheap to build, it's well understood, and the certification path is paved smooth from decades of doing it. Here's the problem. The tube doesn't fly. The wing flies. The tube is just dead weight that the wing has to drag through the sky. Every pound of fuselage is a pound that produces no lift, only drag and load. Engineers have a term for this. They call the fuselage a non-lifting body. You are essentially carrying a giant aluminum kayak through the air at 500 knots and asking the wings to do all the work. So for about as long as we've had the tube and wing, smart people have asked the obvious question, what if the whole airplane made lift? What if you didn't have a fuselage and wings as separate parts but instead blended them into one continuous shape, a wide flattened body that generates lift across its entire span? That's the blended wing body. Or as the engineers write it, BWB, picture something between a conventional airliner and the B-2 stealth bomber. Not quite a flying wing because it still has a thickened center section where the people sit. But the fuselage and the wings melt into each other in one smooth surface. The whole airplane is an airfoil. The data tells an interesting story here, and the headline number is the one everybody quotes. A blended wing body, done right, promises somewhere around 50% better fuel efficiency than the airliners flying today. Half the fuel for the same trip. Now, let me put a caveat on that number immediately, because this is Clear Direct, and we don't do hype without the asterisk. That 50% is the best case, the stacked-up dream scenario, and it includes new engines and new everything. The airframe shape itself, the aerodynamic part, contributes maybe 20 to 30%. The rest comes from modern engines and lighter materials that you could, in fairness, bolt onto a conventional airplane too. So when you hear 50%, mentally file it as a ceiling, not a promise. But even the conservative number, 20 to 30% from shape alone, is enormous. In an industry where airlines fight tooth and nail over a 2 or 3% fuel improvement, a shape that hands you 20 is the kind of thing that rewrites the map. Where does that efficiency come from? Three places, and they're worth understanding. First, lift. As I said, the entire body makes lift instead of just the wings. More lifting surface, spread out wide, means you can carry the same load at a lower drag penalty. Second, drag. A blended shape has dramatically less surface area exposed to the air for a given amount of interior volume. Less wetted area, less skin friction drag, and because there's no sharp junction where a wing meets a fuselage, you eliminate a whole category of interference drag that conventional airplanes fight at that corner. Third, and this is the one most people miss, structure. When lift is distributed across the whole span, instead of concentrated in two wings hanging off a tube, the bending loads are gentler. In principle, that means you can build it lighter. Lighter airplane, less fuel. It all compounds, so if it's this good, here's the question that should be nagging at you. Why isn't everybody already flying one? Why has this idea been sitting in textbooks and NASA wind tunnels since the 1940s without making it to your gate? Because the cons are just as real as the pros, and they're stubborn. Start with that pressurization problem I mentioned. Remember, a cylinder handles cabin pressure beautifully. A wide, flat, blended cabin does not. You've now got a big flattened pressure vessel, and flat surfaces under pressure want to bow outward and flex. To stop that, you have to add internal structure, ribs and braces, and reinforcement, and that structure adds back weight, the very weight you were trying to save. Engineers have spent decades wrestling with how to build a non-circular pressure cabin that's both strong enough and light enough. It is genuinely hard, and it's the single biggest reason the BWB stayed on the drawing board. Second problem. The passengers, in a tube. Almost everybody is near a window, and everybody is roughly on the center line of the airplane. In a wide blended body, you've got a cabin that's far broader than it is long. Many passengers are sitting nowhere near a window, and here's the part the marketing department hates. When that wide airplane rolls into a turn, the people sitting way out toward the wingtips move up and down a lot more than the people in the center. Roll the airplane a few degrees, and the outboard passengers get a noticeably bigger heave than someone over the center line. It's a comfort problem, and it's a real one. Third, evacuation and doors. Certification rules say you have to get everybody out of a burning airplane in 90 seconds. That's straightforward in a long tube with exits down the sides. It's a much harder geometry problem in a wide, deep cabin. Where do the doors go? How do people on the inside reach them? This is solvable, but it's a mountain of engineering and testing. And fourth, the quiet killer of every radical aircraft. The airports are built around the tube, and wing gates, jet bridges, ground equipment, the spacing of the parking spots, all of it assumes a certain shape. A blended wing body that's much wider than a conventional jet might not fit your existing gate, and no airline wants to buy an airplane that doesn't fit the airport it already paid for. Innovation doesn't happen in a vacuum, it has to fit the world that already exists, so that's the landscape. A shape with enormous promise and a stack of genuinely hard problems that have killed every previous attempt to bring it to market. Which brings us to Jet Zero, and why this time might actually be different. Jet Zero was founded around 2021 by two people worth knowing. Tom O'Leary, the chief executive, and Mark Page, the chief technology officer. And Page is the name that makes aerospace people sit up. Mark Page is one of the original blended wing body researchers. He was working on this concept back in the 1990s with McDonnell Douglas and NASA on the early studies that defined the modern BWB. This is not a software guy who watched a documentary and decided to disrupt aviation. This is one of the people who has been chewing on this exact problem for 30 years, finally getting a serious shot at building the airplane. Their plan is a full-size jet they call the Z4. Think roughly the capacity of a Boeing 767, somewhere around 250 passengers, a single-deck blended wing body aimed at the heart of the market. And critically, they made a smart engineering choice. They are not trying to reinvent the engines. The Z4 is designed to use existing off-the-shelf turbofan engines mounted on top of the body at the rear. Mounting the engines up top is clever, by the way. The body shields a lot of the engine noise from the ground, so these airplanes could be substantially quieter on the people living under the approach path. And by using engines that already exist, Jet Zero removes one of the biggest sources of risk and delay. You're only inventing one new thing, the airframe, instead of three. Here's where it gets real. In August of 2023, the United States Air Force selected Jet Zero for a contract worth about $235 million, and the broader program commitment has been reported north of $500 million to build and fly a full-scale demonstrator. Why does the Air Force care, tankers and transports? The Air Force flies enormous fuel-hungry airplanes that refuel other airplanes and haul cargo around the planet. If a blended wing body cuts fuel burn by even a third, that is a staggering operational advantage in range and in cost. The military money is what lets Jet Zero attempt something a pure startup could never afford. And the timeline. Jet Zero has been targeting a first flight of that full-scale demonstrator in the 2027 range. Before that, they've been flying a smaller-scale model, a roughly one-quarter-scale remotely piloted version called the Pathfinder, built with a company called Scaled Composites to gather real flight data on how the shape actually behaves in the air. That's the right way to do it. You don't bet a clean sheet airliner on a wind tunnel alone. You go fly a model first and see what the air tells you. Now, let me be the honest broker, because that's the job. Here's what most people miss about timelines in this business. A demonstrator flying in 2027 does not mean you're booking a ticket on one in 2028. Between a successful demonstrator and a certified passenger airliner carrying paying customers lies the single most expensive, slowest, most brutal gauntlet in all of engineering: certification. The Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, has never certified a passenger blended wing body. There's no template. Every one of those problems I listed, the pressure cabin, the evacuation, the passenger comfort, has to be proven to a regulator who has spent his entire career certifying tubes. Realistically, a blended wing body airliner carrying passengers is a next decade proposition. The early 2030s at the absolute soonest, and that's if everything goes right, which in aviation it never quite does. The military demonstrator could fly on schedule, and still, the airline version is years and years behind it. So if you hear someone tell you the tube and wing era ends in 2028, they're selling you something. But, and this is the part that I find genuinely exciting, the reason to take JetZero seriously is not the marketing, it's the convergence. Three things are true now that were never all true before. The materials are ready. Modern carbon fiber composites can build a complex curved pressure cabin in ways aluminum never could, which finally cracks that flat pressure vessel problem. The economic pressure is ready. Airlines and governments are under enormous pressure to cut both fuel cost and carbon emissions, and a 20 to 30% improvement is too big to ignore. And the money is ready, because the Air Force decided this was worth funding at scale. The idea isn't new. The conditions are. Here's how I'd leave it. The blended wing body is not vaporware, and it's not a sure thing. It's a genuinely better shape for moving people and cargo through the air, held back for 70 years by problems that are finally, maybe, becoming solvable. JetZero might be the company that does it, or they might join the long, honorable list of beautiful airplanes that flew once, proved the concept, and never made it to a gate. Either way, somebody is going to crack this eventually, because the physics has been pointing at it the whole time. The tube and wing was never the best airplane. It was just the one we knew how to build. My thanks to JetZero, to NASA's long history of blended wing body research, and to the Air Force Research Laboratory for the public details behind this program. If you want the links and a few of the wind tunnel images, they're worth seeing. You'll find more at radiohanger.com. Keep looking at the shape of things. Sometimes the thing everybody stopped questioning is exactly the thing about to change. I'm Vector, fly safe, and I'll catch you next time on Clear Direct.